This is Advanced Ability Center, tape number 11. The title of this lecture is Church Disconnections and the Shortage of Auditors.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
So easy to get into a new unit of time when the tape... Sort of like a small family gathering today. I don't know why some weeks there's mysteriously 125 people show up, and the next week a much smaller group. Someone let me know so I can control my statistic. Yeah. Let's see, what's exciting? Well, I guess a couple days ago there was a demonstration in front of the AOLA in Los Angeles. Some independent Scientologists who had some things to say and wanted the media to know they had some things to say. And they had a nice time parading in front of those blue buildings. And the amazing spokesperson for that event herself happens to be here amongst us. And so Davina's just going to give us a couple minutes of let us know what happened on this last wonderful Thursday. Here's Davina.
Hello there. Well, let's see. We had about 25 people at the march, and several people were actually representing more than just themselves. I had 29 names of people who either couldn't come or were afraid to come because of jobs or family. And we got very, very good press coverage from the people that were there. KFWB News was extremely favorable to us in their presentation on the radio. Channel 13 gave us just about a minute worth, but during that minute we had a spokesperson for the church claim that all we really had to do was just go in and sign the forms, you know, and you just had to follow policy. So I am going in Monday evening with John Gilgar, and we are going to test to see whether or not in fact they are going to live up to this, because if they don't, in 3 weeks we will have another demonstration, and we will at that time have the press there to ask them, well, if you said 3 weeks ago these people could have their money, where's their money? So I think it was a really big win. It was the first time Scientologists have ever had the nerve to picket or in any way demonstrate against a Scientology organization. And I think it was a very big win. The people who came out to watch us from the church, who talked to us, were full of ARC, among other things. Cut that. Really, they were very pleasant to us. And I think that is somewhat of the tack they are going to take at this point, because if this kind of demonstration escalates and gets more and more into the media, they are going to realize they've got a big hot potato on their hands. So we shall see what happens in the future. You shall get more news of this if we have to do it again. Okay.
Thanks, Davina. Okay, it's time for David's Sunday talk. Here's David.
Well, per a recent evaluation just done, I'm going to brief you on a new why. That was intended to be a joke. Anyway, One of the things that people have often mentioned when they've been considering joining the independent movement is the possibility that they would lose friends that they had due to the policy of disconnection. And one of the major aspects of that is that what they're talking about is losing as friends people that they feel are friends of theirs, and the possible loss of ARC and a third dynamic. And this can seem like a very real threat to people. In actual experience, though, I and very many other people in the independent movement have found that we've actually gained a lot more friends, and they are of a much higher caliber or quality in that they'll stick by you and not just write you up at a moment's notice or to save their own skin or whatever. And it is possible then to have, for the first time, a real third dynamic. And I consider that to be a very considerable advantage. There are a lot of gains that people have mentioned and a lot of benefits that they've mentioned. And I think one of the major and most consistent ones is the fact that most people that have joined the independent movement feel that they've gained a third dynamic for the first time and gained friends that they can really count on and really rely on. And I think that's pretty good in itself. But I want to go on and talk about something that I feel is possibly far more important and far more significant than that. And in a way, I was joking when I said there'd been a recent evaluation, but I'm going to put forward the idea of a possibly different explanation or a different why for what's gone on over the last few years. One of the most obvious complaints and most frequent complaints that people have mentioned is the subject of prices being too high and making auditing and training unavailable or taking it out of availability of the majority of people because they couldn't afford it. And some people have expressed the idea that this is basically running a can't have of auditing. If you can't afford the prices, then you can't have it. So there's this big can't have on auditing and also on training. But there's possibly a different explanation. And going back over the years, and going back even earlier than the time when the prices started rising, there was something else that was perhaps not as obvious an outpoint, but there was a shortage of auditors, and there's been a shortage of auditors for a great many years. Many, many years. There have been various efforts over the years to solve the scarcity or shortage of auditors, but there has been, in my opinion, insufficient effort on that, and certainly there hasn't been any effective solution to it. Now, looking at it this way, a shortage of auditors means that in real terms, like, say, 10 years ago, I went to visit one of the orgs, and they had at the time about 79 staff members in the org, and of those 79, only one was a full-time auditor, and there were three others who would be taken off their post to audit in the HGC when they were needed. And that's an obviously imbalanced ratio. And that sort of thing was not uncommon at the time. Now, when you have insufficient auditors to deliver auditing and insufficient supervisors to train people, it adds up to not enough technical delivery people to deliver auditing and training. Now, if an org of, say, 70 or 80 staff only had a few auditors, then that in itself tends to bring about an enforced price rise. They can't deliver enough auditing to support the organization, so therefore it tends to bring about a price rise in order to get more money for what auditing they can deliver. It's not a correct solution. Obviously, it's not a correct solution, but because it's not a correct solution, it tends to perpetuate the problem. And I'm putting that out as a possible reason for what's gone on over the years. Obviously, if the various things that were being said about prices and price rises were correct, it would at least have brought about an as-ising of the problem, or it would have brought about some correction of the problem to some degree. So I think that that's possibly a wrong why, and the various reasons that have been given for why the prices have been going up obviously couldn't have been correct in themselves either. But what I think is more to the point is I think a far, far more fundamental problem or difficulty has been a shortage of technical delivery personnel, especially a shortage of auditors. Due to that, there's been a scarcity of auditing, both for public Scientologists wanting to get auditing and also for the staff members in the organizations themselves. Because of the scarcity of auditing, I've mentioned the possibility of prices being raised in order to get more money for the amount of auditing that was being delivered. It has other ramifications, though. With only a very few auditors in orgs, it also means that it's very difficult for the staff members to get auditing. Because the staff members didn't get much auditing, their efficiency and performance hasn't been improved, and it tends to create a certain amount of bypass charge if they're working full-time on helping to disseminate and helping to sell or encourage other people on the idea of getting auditing or even helping to deliver that auditing, but not getting any of it themselves. And of course, they do all have the desire to get the auditing themselves and move on up as well. So it tends to put the staff in an unaudited category. And in my experience over the last 20 or so years, I've very often seen the staff get very little or no auditing. This not only results in poorer performance, but staff members can often start goofing up on their jobs and not doing well on post or in life. And this in turn tends to lead executives to think that there's something wrong with the staff members. Not just that the staff members aren't getting auditing, but they start thinking that the staff members must have something more seriously wrong with them, like they're deliberately trying to mess things up or they're not really trying or whatever. And this often results in situations internally where you can have an executive thinking that his staff are very bad people. He'll start losing sight of the idea that people are basically good, and we'll start getting the idea that the people junior to him have one singular purpose, which is basically to ruin everything that he's trying to get done and perhaps do him in personally. And so you tend to get friction going on between seniors and juniors on staff. All of which, as I say, would be solved by everybody getting more auditing and getting the TA moving and getting some charge off and improving themselves. But it does bring about a false apparency that these staff members are sort of willfully doing things wrong. And that can go so far as toward the idea that, that perhaps man is basically evil rather than basically good. And these sort of things result in what we tend to call in slang terms heavy handlings, such as the RPF for staff and the period of time known as the L1 era, when staff members were being sec-checked to see if they had List 1 rock slams, which in turn would mean that they had evil purposes prompting them to willfully and knowingly try to wreck everything that was being done. And so on. And these, of course, quite heavy and serious times for all concerned, both the staff members being accused of being L1ers and the others left in a depleted org trying to keep things going. Anyway, that sort of thing tends to come about when wrong whys are found and when staff aren't getting sufficient auditing themselves to move on up. And it can take the form of heavy handlings or heavy ethics handlings on staff, which are seeking to handle them not as somebody who's trying but has made a mistake, or who's trying but needs to improve, but this being handled as people who are, you know, willfully and knowingly, with malice aforethought, you know, trying to mess things up. And as far as public are concerned, it tends to result in things like large numbers of confessionals or sec checks to find out if they've been supporting the movement all these many years for some other purpose than the fact that they were supporting it and trying to improve themselves and their family. And they tend to get suspected of being plants or enemies or whatever. And so you get situations of great distrust come about. So I feel that all of that tends to go back to this original fact of a scarcity of auditors. And one of the solutions that we're very interested in putting into effect right now is high-volume training of high-quality auditors and CSs and supervisors. And we're going to be stressing that very much in the future. We've been doing some of it already. But I feel that that is the long-term answer to all of these problems. If there are enough auditors trained and enough technical delivery personnel to be able to deliver all of the auditing to both public and staff, then I'm sure that none of these other things could have come about. And I think that is the long-range solution. And it's certainly, I feel, a far more constructive solution than getting into a witch hunt or looking for why somebody messed something up, but rather to get him up into sufficient case shape that he's capable of handling things. So anyway, I'm putting that out as an idea, as a possible solution as to what went wrong over the years, and as something that we can do very constructively in the future to bring about a lot more TA action on people generally. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone, for coming. See you next week, and bring lots more people. Bye-bye.